Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Anabaptist Perspectives. Today, we're here with Merle Burkholder, and he joins us with a history of a Bible teacher and pastor for over 30 years. He's currently staff pastor for Believers Fellowship and administrator for Open Hands Ministry. So, Merle, let's start with the question, why do I believe in God? Why would someone believe in God?
It starts there in why I believe that God exists. And primarily, I look at what Romans 1 says, what Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, that God is, so it's God's revealing himself through nature. And you look at the world, and the world just doesn't look like a place that happened by accident. There's, whether you go to a large scale, you look at the universe, or you go down to the micro scale and you look at small things, it just seems like there's design. It seems like it's too complex, it's too orderly to have happened by accident. Also, just if there is no God, then there's really no meaning in life, because if the natural life, what we experience, if we're just biological things and it's all just, we're just basically animals, then life becomes meaningless, because and we really don't have any value. There's no ultimate value in life, and there's no purpose, because then why does it matter how I live? Because I'm not accountable to anyone. There's nothing outside of this life anyway, so I might as well just enjoy myself and live for myself. And so without God, then life has no meaning, there's no value, there's no purpose, and it really becomes pretty much a matter of despair and no point to it, really. And so either you just live for yourself, or you might as well kill yourself and have it over with, because life is painful, and so why bother? Why go through the rest of it if there's no purpose to it anyway, no meaning to it? But I come back to the question then that Richard Dawkins asks in, it might be nice to have a purpose to life. It might feel really good to say, yeah, there's meaning to life and there's a purpose to human life and all that. But is it really true? And does God really exist? Or is it just something that I need to kind of make me feel like, well, I do have purpose and I do have significance? And I go back to some of Thomas Aquinas's 5 proofs of the existence of God. But 2 of those in particular stand out to me. One is the element of first cause, and that everything has to be caused by something. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have things that just happen by themselves. There's something that causes everything that's in existence. So what is that first cause? And science can do a good job of kind of documenting what happens and the sequence of how things happen. But what made it happen? What started the whole thing off? So if you go back and you say, well, it was, you know, the whole universe started out of the Big Bang, but then you're back to, but what caused the Big Bang? What if there was this matter that was all in this compressed state and then it exploded and the universe began expanding, but what made it explode? And where did the matter come from to start with? And so you still get back then to questions of origin rather than questions of process. It makes more sense to think that there's a living, intelligent being that is eternal that planned this whole process rather than it just kind of happening. The second thing that Thomas Aquinas said that really makes a lot of sense to me is the thing of the unmoved mover, and that all of the universe is in motion. So the earth is revolving, it's revolving around the sun, but the sun is part of the solar system, and the solar system itself is in motion inside of our galaxy, and our galaxy is in motion. If there's motion, there has to be a force that sets things into motion. So something has to be stationary. And because how do you know something's in motion if there isn't a stationary point where...
If you can't measure it against something.
Right. So how do you know it's moving if you don't have a stationary point to say, oh, it's moving in relation to this? And plus, if there's motion, it takes force to get that motion started. And so you need some force who started the motion that we see in the universe. Those two things out of Thomas Aquinas's 5 points really kind of say to me there has to be someone, there has to be a force outside of nature itself and outside of matter itself that actually got this whole thing going and that put design into it.
So that's interesting, but how would you respond to those who say that those proofs, such as McGrath, he would say that, well, that presupposes that God exists rather than it being a proof. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, that's true, in that they are evidences of the existence of God. But when you talk about proofs, it's very hard to prove that the supernatural exists or doesn't exist. So we look at matter, we look at the physical world, and we can say, yes, that does exist. The immaterial world, it's very difficult to prove that, yes, that does exist or it doesn't, or even an event, did that happen, did it, didn't it happen? The way I respond to that question about Aquinas' points is that when you talk about proof, there's the burden of proof. Like you get into a court system and the burden of proof is on one side or the other. So if a crime happened, it's the burden of proof is on the prosecutor to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that, yes, this person did commit that crime. So the defendant has the advantage of not needing to prove that he didn't do it. He just has to kind of let the prosecutor try to prove that he did. And in our system, we believe a person is innocent till proven guilty, so that burden of proof is on the prosecutor. In this case, and what atheists often like to do is put that burden of proof on us as Christians and say, well, you have to prove that God exists. Like, you can't prove that God exists. So until you can prove that God exists, then I won't believe in God. But my response to that is, the starting point makes a difference. And so, like you're saying, if you presuppose that God exists, well, then that's different than presupposing that God doesn't exist, because that shifts the burden of proof. But when we look at history, that revelation of God through nature has been so strong that even tribal people that have had no education, they believe in the existence of a creator God. They see it. Have most people down through history believed that there's a creator God, or haven't they? Most people have believed that there's a creator God. So I say the burden of proof is on the atheist who now comes along and says, no, there is no God. Prove to me that there is no God. Like, the general consensus of humanity, Christian, non-Christian, take Christianity out of the equation altogether. Tribal religions and almost everyone who has ever been born has believed that there's a creator God. So I say the burden of proof is on the atheist to prove to me that God doesn't exist. Like, I'm just doing what everybody, most people have done throughout history and saying, yeah, I believe there's a God. So now you're saying there's not. I don't have to prove to you there. You prove to me that there's not.
Let's now shift to another question. What advice would you give to someone who is having doubts, and they're having intellectual doubts about the existence of God?
I would say that don't be afraid of those doubts. The person who has doubts and seeks information, like when I say I doubt, I have doubts, that means I need more information. So there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. The person who's doubting says, I'm willing to believe. I just need more information, and I just need to think about this, and I need to look at it from different perspectives, and then I'm going to make a decision, and I'm open about what decision I'm going to make. The person who has unbelief, they're not looking for more information. They've already made a decision. And Jesus never criticized people for having questions or doubting. Like when Thomas is, of course, the famous doubter, and he says, you know, I won't believe unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints and put my hand in his side. And when Jesus showed up and Thomas was there, he didn't kind of say, come on, Thomas, like, you should have never had those questions. He was like, no, here it is. Like, here's the evidence. Go ahead. And so I don't think that God is too, I don't think he's critical of our questions. And I I think the person who questions and then arrives at a conclusion probably has a stronger faith than the person who never has any questions.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Anabaptist Perspectives. For more information, you can go to our website at anabaptistperspectives.org, where we have a blog, and this material is also available in video form on YouTube and Facebook, both under the name Anabaptist Perspectives. This podcast is also available on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Anchor. We would love to hear your feedback, so if you have any thoughts on something that was shared on this show, please let us know. Again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to Anabaptist Perspectives. Your listening and sharing this with friends helps more people find our episodes. A special thanks to all of you who support Anabaptist Perspectives financially. We are here because of you. If you haven't had the chance to give yet this year, would you consider making a year-end donation? You can donate on our website or by check. Thank you so much for listening and supporting Anabaptist Perspectives. Thank you for joining us for this episode, and thanks to our donors and partners for making this possible. To learn more about this ministry, view our About Us video linked below. You can also subscribe to our supporters update at anabaptistperspectives.org.